Welcome to the Space Show, David.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Gravity waves is a topic occupying the attention of many astrophysicists these days. What exactly are gravity waves?
Gravity waves are ripples in the curvature of space. Now that sounds complicated because people can't think of space curving, but perhaps it's easier to think of an analogy. We're all familiar with static gravity. We don't usually call it static gravity, but we fight it every time we walk up a flight of stairs. But we're all familiar with static electricity as well, and we do call that static electricity. But we're also familiar with dynamic electricity, and in fact we're using the dynamic form of electricity, or the waves of electricity right now, recording this conversation and for broadcasting the conversation. So electromagnetic waves are the wave form analogous to the or related to the static form of electricity, which is what makes your hair stand on end and flashes of lightning and things like that. So it's not surprising perhaps that if electricity can have a static form and a wave form, then gravity can also have a static form and a wave form.
With so many gravitational waves passing through the Earth, how could you detect it, tell one from the other?
The reason we can is because there'll be a variety of different sorts of gravity wave signals, just as there's a variety of electromagnetic signals from different types of stars and different other sources in space. To take an example, in the case of neutron stars, if you have two neutron stars in orbit around each other, they gradually lose energy by giving out gravity waves. And as they lose energy, they spiral closer and closer together. As they spiral closer, they go faster and faster. Eventually, they reach a point where they're going around each other about once a second. And at that time, they're giving out such an enormous amount of gravity waves that they lose their energy really fast. Frequency goes up higher and higher and higher. At the last moment, when the two neutron stars just about come in contact, they're spinning around each other about 1,000 times a second. That's right up in the audio frequency regime, and I can actually play you a sound of what that sounds like. It sounds like a sort of chirrup. I played you three chirrups because I wanted you to notice the spacing between them. That's about how often a pair of neutron stars coalesce in that way in the universe. So if we had a sufficiently sensitive detector, you would expect to be hearing these sorts of chirrups when neutron stars coalesced, and you can use electronic techniques to pull those out from the other noise very effectively. What would the other sounds be like? Well, another sound, and sound is the right word for it. It will come out of the detector as something electrical, which you could play over a loudspeaker. So it will, and it's always in the audio frequency regime. The sound of the surface of a black hole, for example. If you drop something into a black hole, the black hole effectively vibrates. The surface of the black hole you can think of as being a bit like a membrane, and that membrane can vibrate, and that produces gravity waves, which are then detected. And the vibration of that membrane is exactly related to the properties of the black hole. There are different sorts of vibrations that you'll get depending on the way you excite it, on the speed that the black hole is rotating, on the speed of the object that was coming in. For example, if a neutron star has a near-miss flyby of a black hole, it'll produce a specific signature of vibration, which will sound like a particular sort of ringing sound. And by working backwards, you can effectively image the surface of the black hole. So you can image the vibrating surface of the black hole and solve exactly for the properties of that black hole. So black holes, instead of being outside of our visible universe. In a sense, the surface is made visible to us by gravity waves whenever it's excited. When it's sitting there still, you can't see it, but whenever it vibrates, it becomes visible in gravity waves.
One other difficulty that occurs to me is if you build a detector, which is after all detecting an extremely small vibration in the detector, wouldn't earthquakes or vibrations in the air or people walking past affect the detector more than the gravity wave?
These are critical problems, and an enormous amount of work has gone into the design of systems for isolating gravity wave detectors. It's reached a point where isolation systems are sufficiently good in the case of the resonant bar detectors that you can do things like hit the outside of the vacuum chamber with a hammer and not detect the vibration, or you can throw a brick on the ground beside the detector and not detect the vibration. We use slightly more quantitative tests, but tests of that sort to confirm how well our detectors are isolated. The size of the vibrations is absolutely tiny. The size that all these detectors try to pick up is around about 10 to the minus 20 of a meter, which is a small compared with an atom, as an atom is compared with a human being. But as long as you're detecting above a certain threshold frequency, and it's usually about maybe 50 hertz or 100 hertz, you can get sufficient isolation to be able to detect there. Now, I'm perhaps making it sound a little bit better than it really is. In practice, people are still working away trying to get the bugs out of these detectors at the lower frequency end, and there's probably many, many years' work still needed to improve them. But already at the higher frequencies, they do work very well, and some systematic work can make them work at lower frequencies.
The big question then is, have you actually detected any gravity waves?
Gravity waves have never been detected. The detection of gravity waves is maybe the outstanding problem in physics for the 20th century. They are, and maybe they won't be detected in this century. Maybe it's going to take a bit longer than that. The gravity waves have been proved to exist, though. And that's, I think, an important step forward. The proof of their existence goes back to the neutron stars that I just mentioned. The neutron stars that in their last moments spiral together in one of those chirrups, in their earlier stages, like 100 million years before they've reached that final coalescence, orbit and just slowly decay their orbit. And there are three of these neutron star systems known where the orbital changes are quite easily measurable, and we can see that these neutron stars are spiraling together exactly as predicted by Einstein's theory of relativity. So Einstein's theory has been in fact proved in its predictions of gravity waves in the last few years through observing this system. So we can be confident that gravity waves exist, but we still wait to detect them.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Space Show, David.
Thanks very much, Andrew. It's a pleasure.